Welcome to Jungle Talk, your indoor plant podcast. I'm Tim Harper from Banks and Brown, and joining me each episode is Hayley Sutherland from Indoor Jungle. Hi, Hayley.
Tim, hi.
How are you?
Yeah, good. You?
I'm good.
Good to be back here.
It is good.
Yeah.
And something very interesting to talk about today. We will be talking about philodendron heteraceum. But first, I want to talk about the conspiracy of the death plug, which seems to be this strange underworld plant conspiracy.
Yeah.
So, first of all, you've had a lot of experience with plant plugs, which is what they're actually called. Can you just explain how the bulk of our indoor plant stock and a lot of outdoor is also produced?
I can explain that. So, unbeknownst to a lot of people, most of their plants that they will pick up and purchase off a garden centre shelf actually started in a laboratory. And I think we might have touched on this before. I'm not sure if we have or not in previous episodes. Maybe not.
I think we have, but perhaps that one hasn't been released
maybe.
Yet.
Okay, so plant plugs are essentially a result of most things being created by something called tissue culture. So tissue culture is the science of taking plant cells from a particular mother plant, mother stock, and in a laboratory, in a very sterile way, reproducing a plant en masse. It's identical clone, so to speak, in a lab, and it gets produced in such a sterile state that it's grown in sort of like little agar dishes, I suppose, like petri dishes in agar. And it is not only a way to mass produce plants quite quickly, but it's also a lot of this stuff gets done overseas, so it's a very clean, sterile way to get plants from these laboratories overseas into Australia in a legal fashion.
legal,
yes. And then those little dishes of agar, they go into our growing nurseries, our plug growing nurseries. We have lots of beautiful big facilities of those around Australia, and they get what's called deflasked. And then those tiny little plants that started growing in those sterile agar dishes are grown and are literally planted into a plug. And those plugs may be of various different materials. Some of them you see today are like a compressed peat or other different materials. But that's quite a common one.
And all of them ultimately break down.
They're all made out of compostable materials or plant materials, so to speak. But they are chosen for their ability to house this tiny little seedling or baby, little tiny clone, in a safe manner while it grows big enough to then be shipped out to other growing nurseries around Australia. So these facilities obviously, grow these little plugs until they're a couple of inches tall, and then they get transported around Australia in trays to growing nurseries, where then those little tiny plugs get planted into our 5 and 6 inch pots. So I hope you're still with me, because I know that was a long explanation.
It does highlight the effort and time that goes into producing that plant, and
masses.
That's why it has to be done en masse, as opposed to having someone in Australia just doing cuttings.
That's right. And so tissue culture isn't a new thing. It's not something that just started 2 or 3 years ago. It's been around for a long, long, long time. It's just that the demand for the plants these days has accelerated the use of tissue culture, I suppose. And it's a fantastic way to produce plants en masse when there's such a demand for them. And it's a quicker and more cost-effective method of producing plants, as opposed to doing cuttings and trying to get cuttings on that sort of numbers scale. So then once those little plant plugs have reached growing nurseries, such as like the one I work in, we get them out of the trays, they get potted up, and then once again, more time elapses while that root system grows out of that plant plug and into the surrounding soil of that 5 or 6 inch pot. And so that is essentially the ideal way for those plugs to be grown. So,
well, this is where the conspiracy comes in.
This is where the problem lies, because if those plants have had the ideal time, growing time at those growing nurseries before they actually go out to a garden centre or a shop, they should have. You should be able to pull a plant pot off and be able to see the soil with roots in it, full of that whole soil should be. Have a root system that you can see. So if it doesn't have that and all that soil falls off and you're left with still that little plant plug, that's where the problem lies.
Yes.
And that's where the whole death plug conspiracy has come in, because...
But the problem with the language is, from what I've read when people are commenting about this, it's like that's a blanket term people have chosen to put as though this is a rare thing that they got a plant and it was in a death plug.
Mm.
Not this is the one in 100,000 that didn't take properly.
Yeah.
And for all intents and purposes, probably hasn't not done well because of that plug, but that plug's what people have been blaming.
Yeah.
Because I think they don't understand.
It's a time thing.
Yeah.
It just needed more time to actually grow its root system. That is as simple as it is.
The other thing is there seems to be the other part of conspiracy is that for some reason... plants are put in these little plugs, and the reason they die is because they're not able to get through them, which is completely ridiculous.
Yeah, because that's exactly what they're made for.
Exactly.
They're made for allowing a little plant to grow.
And I've got some photos which we'll share at some stage. Mm-hmm. I got a range of different plants that I've got, washed all of the soil mix off, right back to the... I picked ones where you could still see, and it's quite common to still see the top of a plug on a perfectly healthy plant because it just hasn't broken down yet.
Yeah.
So I've taken the bigger pot off, washed all the soil off, and I've got these great photos of some. You can clearly still see the plug, but the roots, quite strong roots coming out. These were alocasias in particular.
Yeah.
Quite strong. It was a great example of how they're supposed to work. So you can see that... the roots do get through, and then over time, that will perish, that little plug.
Well, not even... Well, it'll sort of disappear and degrade over time. It's just that emerging root system grows out into the existing soil in the pot, and that root system just becomes nice and healthy and strong. So a plant that has had the correct amount of time to grow that root system... you can get that home if you're one of these people that want to pull your, pots off and check out the roots, and you pull it off and you've got all these roots there, you will be completely unaware that started life in a plug. But I can almost guarantee you 99% of the time it did. Yeah. It's just that it's had the correct amount of time to grow in the growing nursery to grow that root system. So that's why you can't see the plug anymore. It was there and probably still is deep inside, but because you've got no reason to go searching for it, because it's got a beautiful, healthy root system, then you don't even sort of think about the fact that it started life as a plug.
I've tried to come up with a good analogy for this, but I can't. So I was trying to think of more of a plant-based one. And it's a bit like when you stake say you plant a small fruit tree and you stake it. Why do you stake it? To support it if it gets windy while the roots are establishing. That's ideally, after a couple of years, that stake's going to come out because the roots have established. It's the same kind of thing. The plug is supporting the teeny tiny plant and the teeny tiny roots until such time as they get through, they start supporting the plant itself. Just rather than pulling the stake out, you don't go and try and peel the plant plug off, but you just leave it.
So I guess... I mean, the plugs are there because there's no other way to plant those teeny tiny little agar babies into anything else. Like, they have to go into something that is going to support that. Like, I'm talking like something that is like a centimetre or 2 centimetres big.
Yeah.
They look like little spermy things, really. They do. So that has to go into something that is small. And that can, firm, and that can hold it there while that develops a root system. So,
and also just on that, the plug itself, if it's, what are we saying, sort of 1 or 2 centimetres wide?
It's about an inch, perhaps.
It's a bit like why you, same reason you wouldn't plant like a normal sized plant that you would buy, you wouldn't pot it up into a pot 10 times as big.
That's exactly
because
right.
It's going to be ineffective to water. Yeah. It's all relative. Yeah. So the plug is relative to the scale of the plant.
Yes, exactly.
But rather than, because you can't pot out of a plug, the plug stays. It's the just kind of like you're potting
that's
up.
Right.
This strange, like, with all the beautiful information available on the internet, it's so easy to go down a rabbit hole of looking for that problem. And unfortunately, the death plug tag, like I searched just before for plant plugs in Google, and the third option after what people also ask was, what is a death plug? Well, if you've got a problem with your plant for whatever reason, you're tempted to click on that, aren't you? And all of a sudden, you're getting the wrong information.
Yeah.
I searched for death plugs, and there is pages and pages of mixed information.
Yeah.
You know, one's telling you... Luckily, the very first result that comes up actually has an explanation about why that's incorrect.
Mm.
Unfortunately, there is... Yeah, a lot of mixed information and...
And none of that incorrect information would be coming from anyone that's got to do with horticulture or plant growing or in the plant growing business.
Yes,
because
even...
Because we all know what they're for and what they do.
I love a good, well-thought-out conspiracy theory, but there's usually a reason for, like, there's usually a company or someone that's behind a conspiracy theory because they're somehow benefiting.
It doesn't make any sense.
It would basically destroy the whole industry if this was a thing. Let's deliberately grow crappy plants and put them in... Let's wrap them in Glad Wrap plugs. And then they'll all die and we'll just get away with it and sell more.
Yeah.
It doesn't make
any sense. So I guess where people are falling down is when they're finding their plants. So like I said before, 99% of your plants have been grown with a plug. They're pretty much all tissue cultured these days. And that means that they all started life with a plug. So even all those ones that are flourishing in your house, yes, they all had plugs. It's just, like I said before, they had time in a growing nursery to develop a proper root system. So the ones that you've taken home and they haven't grown and they've started going backwards or dying, you've, you know, pulled them out the pot and you find this so-called death plug, unfortunately, they did not have the correct amount of time at the growing facility. They were sent out too early, whether that's because, you know, that the demand out there for the amount of plants that people are wanting these days is forcing our growing facilities to send plants out too quickly. They're not being given the right amount of time to grow. They're not being checked whether they've got root systems or not. And so plants are unfortunately ending up on retail centre shelves immature. So the foliage might look fantastic and look like it's at a sellable state, but if those plants had been checked before going out, they would have realized there wasn't any root systems in that potting mix, and so they should have stayed at the growing facility a little bit longer, because another 6 weeks at the growing facility and then they went to the garden center, you would be buying a healthy rooted plant.
I think there was a perfect storm last year where like, for me, three things happened all at the same time. Like, I've spoken to you about this earlier, but this has been a death plug conspiracy thing. It's been around for a while, but I think last year, particularly the indoor plant industry was growing prior to our year of lockdowns and not lockdowns and bits and pieces.
Mm.
Once that started happening and people were spending more time at home, they were buying more plants, which was further draining our industry of plant stock initially.
Yep.
You also had a lot more people showing their plants off online at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And you had this sharing, like with sharing your plants and getting people's opinions, it all happened at the same time as plant supply was getting super low.
Yep.
And I've seen batches were coming out that were too small, but they were just coming out to try and keep up
with demand.
And I think the supply where we are now seems to have corrected itself again, and I feel like I'm hoping that that continues because there'll be more plants produced.
Yeah.
But I feel like all those things happened at once and people had more time to look at their plants and perhaps look at them too much and start noticing things
much.
That they wouldn't have noticed if they'd left them a bit longer.
Yeah. And I guess, so if you're buying a plant that is too immature, that hasn't developed a root system, then essentially you've bought a plant that ultimately, if it was at a growing facility, gets really specialised care. And you're not giving it that at home. You're just complaining, saying, oh, it's got a death plug. But ultimately that plant, the plugs, they actually get really quite specialised care at a growing facility. So the watering is quite controlled. You know, they're in hot houses, pretty much all of them. And, you know, light is a really key factor, and feeding is a key factor for these little plugs to grow a proper root system before they go out. So you're not giving it any of that at home, essentially. Basically, you're getting these plants home and expecting them to behave like all of your other plants. Most people don't have greenhouses and glass houses that they can then support the growth of a little baby plug at home. So if you can't provide that specific kind of growing conditions for that plant that really shouldn't be in your home, then that's why people are failing, because they've brought this plant home and expecting it to be able to just fit on in with their, you know, other plants, you know, the way that they water, the light and the, you know, lack of heat from a hothouse. And essentially that poor little plug is not gonna thrive, because it needs all of those really specialised kind of conditions to start its life.
We're also in a bit of a culture at the moment where I call it blame culture, where everything that happens, the first thing a lot of us do is look to blame someone or something for it.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, your plant didn't work and you've got to blame something.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10 on a forum or whatever, it'll be, oh, it was the death plug.
Yeah.
Which...
Well, I've just explained why it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
They shouldn't be in your home at that age.
So
I'm actually finding it a little bit frustrating that they're actually for sale now. Have you seen?
No.
No.
I didn't know.
Maybe
this.
Maybe we won't touch on it. I don't know.
You mean on a retail level you can walk in and buy a plug?
Well, I don't know if it's a retail level. I'm seeing them on social media that people have them obviously available to them in some way, shape or form. And so they're actually selling plugs. So if people are buying them and they don't really understand the needs of those plants, if they're not, you know, they don't have a growing background, they don't have a nursery background, then you're essentially just setting people up for failure.
Mm. Well, yeah, I suppose if you were able to just buy plugs direct for whatever reason. Well, yeah, but the thing is, a nursery that's getting those plugs and growing them on properly is they follow a whole lot of rules about not contaminating things, and everything's got to be done a specific way, not just
shed. There's a lot of, like I just explained, there's a lot of a specific process. And we have very specific growing facilities to support that little plant plug in the next 6 to 8 to 12 weeks of its life before it, you know, is of a proper age and maturity to go out onto the shelf. So if that plant is missing that 6 or 12 weeks of, you know, that real specialised care, then it doesn't have a lot of chance when it gets into a home.
Well, what I would encourage, putting all that information aside, I'd just encourage anyone that's buying a plant, it's second nature for you or I, because we work with plants always, but, you know, if you pick up a plant, there's certain things you're looking for. Obviously, first of all, you probably spot it because the foliage looks healthy, regardless of indoor, outdoor. If it feels like it's settled into that size pot or whatever, you can tell, and if you can see that little circle on top, just ask. Ask the nursery before you buy the plant, and you'll probably get the exact same explanation Hades just given you. And if you get it home and you take it out the pot and everything falls off of it and you're just left with a little tube, take it back because it wasn't ready to be sold.
No, it's not. If you're not willing to take it back because you really wanted that plant, then you need to start looking at it from a grower's perspective, from a nursery perspective. And give it different kind of growing conditions, more warmth, more light, because it needs those things to develop that root system, you know. And it's super possible, It's really possible to get them to develop, but it's just going to be a slower process because you don't have those really hot houses and the light conditions that a nursery does.
And control over all of the humidity and heat.
Because that's the heat and the light and the feeding is what really stimulates that root growth in a little tiny plant.
So it's easy to blame a plug that can't say, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah,
I didn't work, but I didn't work because, not just I don't work.
Yeah.
And I think for the baffling amount of millions and millions of plants which would have been produced in this way, the percentage of plants that didn't exceed or grow through that little plug would be so minute.
Yeah, it is minute. And, you know, I mean...
But you just don't hear about the ones that do.
That's
you
right. Only hear the bad I've got, I don't know how many thousands of plants, you know, in my garden at home... Outside on the patio, inside, that, and I have never, ever, ever had to pull a plant.
Well, you should start a successful plug Instagram.
Maybe
all these plants here did grow from
plugs.
These
were all plugs.
They're alive plugs.
Yeah, I guess if that's some of the information we can impart on listeners today is that all of those, even all those successful plants you have, they were all plugs too. It's just you weren't aware of it because you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Because they had developed a root system by the time you got it. So
let's put some positivity on it and
realize
there's more to it.
Yes, am I sounding like a dragon?
No.
I'm not, because I really didn't want to sound like I was just...
Well, the goal of this episode was to try and address it because the only information available is by searching really online. And it is so... Well, there's both, but it's all sort of very... argumentative, so I thought it would be good to just talk about it and push this episode right up to our current. We've got some others ready to go, but I thought let's do this one because it's such a common popular topic.
I think arming people with a bit more information about it. I do talk about this at my workshops and I think people are very interested to know about it. They don't have any information at all about the whole growing process. The whole tissue culture process, it's a very big eye-opener for people to realise that most of their plants come from a laboratory these days. And so it's if you're armed with that sort of information, then you can better understand what you're dealing with at home, I think. And it's a bit more plant psychology then. Like I say, you know, caring for plants is kind of like understanding from their point of view what's going on.
It's like any problem in any field is... Work out what... You don't just find the answer. You've got to figure out what's caused the problem first.
Yeah.
And I don't like the word problem, but it seems fitting.
Well, yeah. So you just need to... If you do end up with a little plug, you're going to have to start looking after it in a completely different way. You can't expect it to... You can't expect a 2-year-old to behave like a 16-year-old. End of story. Or even my 12-year-old to behave like my 16-year-old. That doesn't happen.
Oh. Yes, let's just move on from that. So I think it's a good time. So something that I've seen hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands, grown successfully in plugs is philodendron. And the particular philodendron, which is commonly labelled as philodendron cordatum, which Heidi has told me is incorrect. So this is the heartleaf philodendron, a really common, really nice...
Hanging.
Yeah, it hangs. Yeah. It can totem or hang. It's pretty it's pretty up there with the in the neglect area. You can sort of neglect it for some time. Now, what should we be calling it?
We should be calling it Philodendron heteraceum.
Okay.
Which is its correct botanical name. If you do Google Philodendron cordatum, you will still, obviously there's loads and loads of information out there, you will get pictures and information that show you the Philodendron heteraceum. However, a true cordatum is a very different looking plant. It has much more elongated leaves. They're very big. They can be 30, 40, 50, 60 centimetres, those leaves. It gets quite a thick sort of a stem trunk.
Looks a bit more like a beanstalk.
It would probably, it's a bit more like a monstera in its growth type pattern rather than the... Philodendron heteraceum, it has obviously it's still got a very young, flexible stem, and like we said, it's a very viney sort of plant, so it will hang or go up that totem. So very different looking plants.
But for clarification, 999 of the 1,000 that we're talking about that you might have on a plant tag at home would still say cordatum.
Yeah, it still says cordatum. It's kind of just one of those unfortunate mistakes that's happened from growers or label companies, and that's kind of stuck. So Philodendron heteraceum, which is now what I'm going to always refer to it as.
I've got to try too. Or I'll just say heartleaf.
Or heartleaf, yep.
That's very vague.
But which, it's such a good plant.
It is. And more recently, the Brazil is a variegated version, which is kind of cool. But yeah, back to the original one. It's probably one of the first plants I got to know, aside from the obvious devil's ivy, when I started having an interest.
And let's call that Epiprenum.
Yep. Yep, that's correct. If you've thrown me off now.
Oh, sorry.
No, so I would say we're not, as we've said last time, we're not putting little bars on watering and sunlight and whatever, but I would personally treat this very much like an Epipremnum, how you look after it.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I talk about this plant, and I actually do give it, you know, the tick of approval for new plant owners, and also for lower light accepting plants. It is very tolerant of, like Tim said before, a bit of neglect. Bounces back really quickly if it's been really underwatered. It tolerates those medium to lower light situations in the house. But oh my goodness, like, it's super versatile, and if you give it something to climb, whether it's a wall or a totem or a frame or something like that, wow, it can look pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously a correlation with these darker, real dark green leafed plants and their susceptibility to that lower light, do you think?
Yeah, well, absolutely, because they've got more chlorophyll in them when they're all green like that, so they've got the ability to use what light is available and convert that into sugars and still grow really well. So versus your plants that have a lot of high variegation or less green in them, they need higher light levels to grow to do that same thing. But yeah, the heteraceum is, it's just a really appealing looking plant. It's kind of, it's very,
I feel like no neat. Two look the same. Like,
no.
Because of its real, like,
it's full and viney.
Yeah, but it doesn't grow like a boring straight vine. Even if it's hanging and it's quite heavy, it still tries to move a bit, and you end up with a cool, like,
yeah, some of the leaves will curl in all sorts of different ways and shapes. And like I said, you can manipulate it to look like however you want. So I've got a couple of different ones at home, and one I've got on a little like side, like coffee table sort of stand at the base of a wall in a pot, and it's just a single strand, and I've actually got that going up the wall, and it's clung to the wall and just grows as a single vine all the way up the wall onto the roof, and that looks amazing. And yet I've got another one in a hanger that's all, I've got, you know, all the different bits twisted around the hanger and sort of heading up towards the roof as well, so that looks really full and lush, like there's like 100 different bits to it,
but
it's not. So you can really manipulate how plants like that grow and look.
You've given away another tip, a good tip, which I'm trying to do more of, is when you've got a basket and you want it to hang, and it's a whatever sort of climber or hanger it is don't be tempted, avoid being tempted to straight away just with your initial plant just to put it over the edge.
Mm.
If you can just give it a bit more time and wrap it around a few times on the soil. On the
soil surface, yeah.
It's going to latch more on, and it's going to be able to like access more moisture and nutrients.
Yeah. And then it's also likely to send out a few more secondary and stems as well, growing stems.
Chain of Hearts is a great example of how that...
And String of Pearls. Outside people.
Outside String of Pearls, yes.
Outside String of Pearls.
So, yeah, I think... I love this plant. I haven't managed to kill many of these ones.
Yay! Tim gets a tick.
And I do try.
So I guess also while we're talking about it, people have just heard that I have one in a hanger. And a lot of people always ask me, how do you water that? Because obviously it is so full and thick and lush. You can't just take that up and down all the time because that damages it. So with all of my hangers, I obviously keep all my plants in the plastic pots, and that sits inside a basket in the hanger, and inside that is a saucer or a bowl that sits underneath the plastic pot. So my hangers get watered in situ, and essentially I You pour a bit of water through the top, not enough to flood the saucer, just enough that a couple of centimetres runs through, it sits in that, and because they're always dry, when I go to water them, that water gets absorbed really quickly over the next couple of hours, and you've watered your plant.
Mess-free. And it essentially wicks the rest of it back
up. Yeah, it just wicks it back up. So your plant's not sitting in water for days because the saucer's not sort of deep enough for me to, you know, put 10 litres of water in there. It means that I'm watering the plants a little bit more often than I would if I was doing proper soaking and absolutely saturating that soil, because you can't sort of, yeah, thoroughly, completely saturate the soil when it's in a situation like that. But it's the way to water your hanging plants without ever moving them.
Yeah, or unfurling them out of macrames.
Yeah. I've seen some really cool, interesting ways that people have watered their plants by having buckets catching the drips of water underneath, or putting towels and soaking up water, and that's really not necessary. It's super simple. Plastic pot, saucer underneath, and inside whatever cover pot or basket or whatever.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I think that just about does it. That's it. Like, it's an easy plant, a cool plant. Probably doesn't need any more detail than that.
Not really. Normal potting mix. Someone did say to me the other day with our Syngonium, we didn't talk about the type of potting mix that we would plant in. That's what I thought was a really, really good point to bring up. So something as robust and as simple as this Philodendron Heteraceum, I keep mine in a premium potting mix. If people really want to go that little bit further, they can add some perlite to that. But a premium potting mix is free draining enough for this type of philodendron. Chuck some slow release fertilizer on a couple of times a year. I water mine quite frequently with liquid feeds, because I always seem to have liquid feed in whatever I'm, whenever I'm watering. So
also important, if you're getting a premium mix, it's got that slow release in it already, which is really what makes it premium, isn't it?
That's right.
So don't forget that if it's a crap cheap potting mix,
which nobody buys,
but if they happen to have some, you're going to need to add that fertilizer in there. But a good quality premium potting mix should have a good level of and you can see them in there.
Yeah, that's what those things are, people. Some people do ask that on social media sometimes, what are these little balls in my plant, and they think they're eggs.
Yeah, they're eggs of nitrogen and beautiful
phosphorus
goodness.
And potassium.
I think perhaps we'll do an episode purely on mediums and mixes, because you can really go from
standard
potting mix right through to essentially a hydroponic or anywhere in between. And if you're really into your plants, you can start experimenting and know, adding this to make it less water holding and changing this and trying this. It's kind of fun, and
it
I think we
fun.
Maybe we'll do an episode on that.
Yeah, so we can do that. But yeah, pretty basics for this philodendron. Water when completely dry, like the Epipremnum, like the Syngonium. These guys are really easy to tell by touching, once again. They'll feel nice and firm when they're well watered, and they'll start to feel a little bit soft. You can really see as well, like their leaves will just sort of start lagging
sort of
a little bit.
They'll curve a little bit.
Curve
don't they?
Over, and they just look a bit floppy. So that's when it's dry, and that's when
I feel a bit like that now.
We'll need a good. Do you need a drink?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go get a drink.
All
right. We're just about done.
Okay. Okay. I'll get one at the completion.
I think that's a wrap.
Yep. Excellent. Well, hopefully we've provided a bit more information on those plant plugs, because we're not trying to victimize or say anyone's doing the wrong thing, or say we just kind of want to put the information out there so that people start to gain an understanding more so of
how the whole production works,
and then perhaps they can make a more neutral kind of opinion on it based on that.
But also, now that they're armed with a bit more information, if they do find themselves with a really immature plant, they might obviously treat it differently, and have a bit more success getting it from that immature stage into a more mature stage and still have success with that plant.
Yeah, excellent. And we'll put a bit of info up with the posts around this too, so you better have a bit of a look. I might find some links to a couple of articles that just go a bit more into it. So until the next episode, I'll just quickly mention @the.indoor.jungle, that's Haiti, if you've got any questions. And just, you can pick from any of mine. Which ones are we saying this week? @SpaceCapsuleGardenCo.
I will also try and repost some photos on my Facebook and Instagram. I have some really great photos of some of the plug growing facilities, as well as those little babies we're talking about in the agar dishes as well. So that's for anyone interested in seeing how that all works. I've got some fantastic photos that I can make available too.
Excellent. Thank you, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Jungle Talk is proudly produced by Space Capsule Garden Company. You can check out Haiti at The Indoor Jungle or myself at Space Capsule Garden Co. You can also check out more information at Banks and Brown. A big thanks goes to Logan Sutherland for his work on the drums for our theme song.